The Sedra this week starts with a vault, Ve'eila HaMishpatim, that connects it to the previous Sedra. And there are many different Mefarshim as to what the connection is between the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Mishpatim. In addition, we're going to have to understand why this Sedra is altogether in Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos is the Sefer HaGeula. It's the Book of Redemption. So I understand why Shmos, Vo'era, Bo, Bishalach are in Sefer Shmos, because that's the Geula. Right? They all speak about the redemption, and Bishalach speaks about Kriyas Yamsuf, which was the culmination of the redemption. Yisro, I understand also, because the redemption wasn't complete until they got the Torah. But I don't understand the rest of the book. From Mishpatim on, what does it have to do with redemption? I would say that Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakal Pekudeh, which deal with the building of the Mishkan, should be in Vayikra. Vayikra is Torah Kohanim. It's the laws of the Kohanim and the sacrifices and so on. In order to make sacrifices, you have to have a Mishkan. So that should be the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, from Truma and on. So the Ramban explains why those are in Sefer HaGeula, because the Geula wasn't complete until the Jewish people returned to the status of the Avos, where God's presence rested on their tents. So until the Shekhinah came and rested amongst the Jewish people, they weren't really redeemed. They weren't completely redeemed. So I understand now why Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakal Pekudeh, the building of the Mishkan, is part of the Book of Geula. But it still doesn't explain why Mishpatim. Mishpatim are basically civil law, which could have been in Devarim, or in Vayikra, somewhere else. Why is this Sedra specifically in the Book of Geula? And again, what's its connection to the Aseres HaDibros, all of the laws of the Torah that are given throughout the Torah? In many Sedras, have a connection to the Aseres HaDibros, because they're a continuation of the law. So why Dafka is Mishpatim in the Book of Geula? So the Beis HaLevi asked the following question. He said, how could the Jewish people commit themselves to the Torah when the halacha is like this, that if somebody commits himself to something undefined and unlimited, that it doesn't take effect? You can't commit yourself. In other words, between man and man, right? If I commit myself as a responsibility to you, something that's undefined and unlimited, then we say that there's no real acceptance of a responsibility. There's no commitment, because I don't know what I'm committing myself to. So how could the Jews commit themselves to the Torah, Nasa v'Nishma? They didn't know what it was. It was undefined. So their commitment was meaningless. Says the Beis HaLevi, you can't commit yourself to specific things that you don't know about. But if you commit yourself to be a slave to somebody, then that in itself is a defined commitment. I'm committed to be totally subjugated to you. And then whatever the details are irrelevant. Because by committing myself to be totally subjugated, it includes all of the details. I don't have to know the details. I'm committing myself to be totally subjugated to you. So that's what the Jewish people did when they said Nasa v'Nishma. They committed themselves to be slaves to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to totally subjugate themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is basically the first commandment. First of all, many learn that the first commandment is not a mitzvah, but it is, Rashi even says it, Kablu Malchusi. Before you can have a mitzvah, you have to accept the fact that there is a mitzvah, that there's a commander. If you don't accept the fact there's a commander, there can't be a mitzvah. So believing in God can't be a mitzvah. It has to be before the mitzvahs. It has to be an axiom, right? A given. That I accept the fact that there is a commander, and then he can give me commands. But I can't have a command to believe in the commander, because who's commanding me? So therefore the Bahag says, and Rashi seems to say the same thing, that the first Dibra is not a mitzvah, it's an axiom. Accept the fact that I am there. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm the one who took you out of Egypt, and therefore I can give you commands. There is a commander. Okay? Even according to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah to believe in God. The question then is, who's the mitzvah to? People who don't believe, there is not possible to have a mitzvah. Because you can't come to a person who doesn't believe in God and say, God said you believe in him. I don't believe in him to begin with. Who said? And a person who believes in God, you don't need a mitzvah. Because he already believes. So the idea though is that even according to the Rambam, it could be that the mitzvah of belief is to believe to the believers. I believe in God. But belief means I believe that every single thing that I am, everything that exists, emanates from God. And therefore, by definition, my belief in God means I am totally subjugated to Him. If I really believe in God, then I'm totally subjugated. So whichever way you learn that the first commandment is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, it implies total subjugation to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros. I subjugate myself completely to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the purpose of the Jewish people. The Beis HaLevi explains, V'yisem li sgula mikol ha'amim. You will be a treasure, something precious more than the other nations of the world. We, by our very nature, the Jewish people, are totally subjugated to God. We're avdei Hashem, we're God's servants. And that is the glory, edified version of it is mamleches kohanim. We are a mamleches kohanim. Somebody said over the weekend, I heard, mamleches does not necessarily mean a kingdom, but mamleches can mean one who makes someone else the king. Mamlich. We're a mamleches kohanim. We, our purpose is to make God the king, to totally subjugate ourselves to be his subjects, to be his slaves. We're slaves of God who make God king, and in that respect, we're kohanim. A kohen is someone who serves God. A kohen is a mishores, a server, an eved, a slave. That's what we are. We are God's servants. And we make God the king. And we are his servants. Mamleches kohanim. And we do that by living a holy life, which is totally in every aspect subjugated to God. That's goy kadosh. And that, in fact, was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we should be God's slaves. And I always like to say that is the symbol of matzah. We start the Seder with the matzah, and we say, Halach ma'anyo diachalu avasanda ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in Egypt. So Ibn Ezra asked, we didn't eat it in Egypt, we ate it when we left Egypt post-haste. That's when we got the mitzvah of matzah. She says, no, there's something more to matzah than when we left Egypt. The whole 210 years in Egypt, we ate matzah. It was the food they served slaves. Matzah is slave food. Why? Because basically it's a very economical food. It's only flour and water. There's no additives. It doesn't take a long time to make, so there's no labor cost. And it doesn't digest fast. It lays in your stomach. I'm sure the matzah ate Pesach is still there, maybe from 10 Pesachs ago. So you don't eat too much of it. So it is a very economical food to feed slaves. That's what they fed the slaves in Egypt. This is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. So isn't it strange that God chose that matzah as a symbol of freedom? That we left Egypt quickly so our bread didn't rise and we were eating matzah, right? I would say that, and that when we end the Seder with the matzah too, is a symbol of freedom. Wouldn't it be better if we started the Seder with matzah as a symbol of slavery, and we ended the Seder with strawberry shortcake, you know, seven-layer cake, and that's a symbol of freedom? Why do we start with matzah and end with matzah? But that's exactly the point. People think that we went from slavery to freedom. It's not true. We're still slaves. What changed was who we're slaves to. In the beginning, we're slaves to Paro, and now we're slaves to God. But we're still slaves. So we're still eating slave food. But the difference is who you're a slave to. If you're a slave to Paro, then you're a slave to your Yetzer Hara, then you're totally limited. If you're a slave to God, then you are totally subjugated and connected to God, then you're connected to the ultimate freedom, because there's no limitations. Person who's totally subjugated and negated to God is without any limitations, because he becomes part and parcel. He's cleaves to God. And that's what it says in the Gemara. Meikara avde de paro. In the beginning we were paro slaves. The hashda now avde de kodesh baruch. We're slaves of God. So we're still eating matzah. We're eating slave food. In fact, the Shalach HaKadosh says the whole purpose of Shibud Mitzrayim, being slaves in Egypt, was to learn how to be slaves, so we could then be slaves to God. And he says that's why we got Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Canaan. What was Canaan? The proverbial slave. Eved Avodim Yeli Echav. So we're in the land that's fit for slaves, either physical slaves or spiritual slaves. And that's why it says there's no one who is free except one who totally is immersed in Torah. Because the Torah is God's will, and by totally immersing yourself in Torah, you totally cleave to God and become, can be yachol, a part of Him, and therefore you become part of the infinite. So there's no limitation, so you're totally free. As much as you're not subjugated totally to God, you're subjugated to other things, you're not free. And that is the idea of the, what's it called, the idea of the Mishpatim. The whole purpose of the Aseret HaDibros was to make us slaves of God. Okay? And therefore, the first mitzvah in this week's Sedra is the mitzvah of a Jewish slave. Because we're God's slaves and not slaves to human beings. So a person who becomes a slave for 6 years is only a slave in respect that he's not, doesn't change his status. He's not, what's it called, subjugated to a master. His work is subjugated to him. But for 6 years, his work is subjugated to a master. So that doesn't change his status, okay? However, if after the 6 years he says, you know, I like this situation, then he's subjugating himself to his master. Ohavtias Adoni. I love my master. Love represents a bond. So I'm bonded with this person. So now you're subjugated to him. Not just your work is subjugated, you're subjugated. So then we pierce his ear to show that he subjugated himself to a human being instead of God. So this is the connected to the first commandment. The whole idea of the Aseret HaDibros starts with subjugating yourself to God. I am God who took you out of Egypt. You are my slaves. Right? So here is the antithesis. If you subjugate yourself to a human being, then you're not subjugated completely to God. You go out of God's domain. And that's why, when does the Eved Nirtza, the slave who doesn't leave, when does he go free? At Yovel. What's Yovel? Yovel is when everything goes back to its original owner. You also subjugated to yourself to another person. Now you go back to your original owner when, what's it called, by Yovel, you go back into the jurisdiction of God. And therefore, all of the Mishpatim, all of the laws that were given between man and man, basically are there that we should not be subjugated to anything or anyone except the Rabbanu Shel Olam in our everyday life. It's not the Mishpatim of God are emes. They all emanate from His truth. They're not just to make a functioning society, to make it that people can live together, but that they can live together under God as a nation. We can create a nation that's totally subjugated to God, and every Mishpat sees to it that if we keep these laws, these civil laws, we'll be a nation who's able to be totally subjugated to God. All the things that the Mishpatim speak about are things that separate you from God if you don't keep them properly. So that's the connection. The connection is that unless you are totally subjugated to God, you're not free. And all of this is to teach us how to subjugate ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam completely. And that was the purpose of the Ten Commandments. So there's a connection between these mishpatim, starting with the laws of the Eved Ivri, where a person can already start going to be subjugated to somebody else, and how he gets out of that. And a total subjugation to God is in every aspect of life, in the mundane things of life, the interpersonal relationships with people. You don't become subjugated to anything else, not to money, not to whatever, except to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a nation. So it answers both questions. Why is this a continuation of the Ten Commandments? Because the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai was to make us avodim Lashem, totally subjugated to God. And this is the details, starting with the laws of a slave. And why is it in the book of redemption? Because you're not free until you're totally subjugated to God. So learning how to make that total subjugation is part of the book of redemption. Because that's how you get redeemed. You get redeemed and free by being totally subjugated to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Al Mishalsi BaTorah. I was thinking that that is the four parshios that we're starting this week, Shkolim, lead up to that. What's the HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, is before Pesach, is the new renewal of our freedom every year. Right? So that's Parshas HaChodesh. Right? When God renewed our freedom in Mitzrayim, right, and began to give us the mitzvahs or whatever, that's when our freedom began. So to build up for that, you need a few things. Shkolim is, you take money, okay, and you donate it to the Mikdash, and they bought the public communal sacrifices from that money. Every year, you have to subjugate your money. Right, your money represents your independence, and you subjugate it to two things: one, to the community, and to sacrifices. Sacrifices are what subjugate you to God, and the community is that nation that lives together under the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you start the process of freedom by subjugating yourself and your possessions totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam, by taking your money, your possessions, giving it to the community, and the community then buys sacrifices and subjugates itself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the first stage in redemption. And then we destroy Amalek. Amalek are those that come between us and God externally. When we're not totally subjugated to God, so then we have external deterrence. That's Amalek. And then comes the Paraduma. Those are the internal separations from God. Tuma. Right? Tuma is a separation between us and God. So we first start by subjugating ourselves to the community and to God, taking away all of the deterrence, external Amalek. That's Parsha Zohar. And then the internal deterrence. That's paraduma, taking away tuma, and then we can renew our redemption, renew our freedom yearly. So those are the four parshios. Parshas Shkolim is a subjugation of our money and basically ourselves to the community and to God, taking away the obstructions to that externally, getting rid of Amalek, getting rid of the internal obstructions, Parshas Para, Tahara, and finally, HaChodesh is the renewal of our freedom on a yearly basis, which leads up to the holiday of Pesach. So that is the place of Parshas Mishpatim in the scheme of the Aseret HaDibros and the scheme of the Sefer HaGeulah.